Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our meeting. At this time, I would like Lisa for you to read the meeting script.
Yes, welcome everyone. If you lose connection at any time, reconnect by clicking the link in the email invite. Committee members, please activate your video and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Use the raise hand feature if you wish to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. Staff, please activate your video when you are speaking. Use the raise hand feature when you are asked a question. And for members of the public, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon by the chair. Please do not use your video. Chair, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. At this time, please do the roll call of commissioners.
Yes, Commissioner Claude Gilmore.
Present.
Gilmore present. Commissioner Greg Reed.
Present.
Reed present. Commissioner Madeline O'Connor.
Present.
O'Connor present. Alder Isidore Knox.
I'm present.
Knox present. And Alder Tag Evers.
Here.
Evers present. And Commissioner Dwayne Gray is excused. And Commissioner Mary Strickland is also excused, absent. Chair, a quorum is present.
Thank you very much. This time, I'd like a motion and a second for approval of the minutes for my May 6th, 8th meeting. Is there a motion for approval?
I'll move to approve.
One second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that the minutes from our May 8th meeting be approved, and we'll consider this a unanimous vote unless there are any objections. Hearing none, motion approved. Are there any public comment?
Registration reporting shows that there are no registrants for tonight's meeting.
Okay, thank you. Matt, are there any communications?
Just that Chad will be started. Chad Ruppel will be starting as our new deputy director and director of housing operations in a week and a half. So this will be the last meeting with Lynette, and then Chad will be taking over.
Thank you. Appreciate that, and we appreciate your service. At this time, are there any disclosures or recusals? Hearing none, we have three items on the consent agenda. I'd like a motion and a second for the approval.
I move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded that the CDA resolutions noted in the agenda are approved, and we'll consider this a unanimous vote unless there are any objection. Hearing none, motion approved. Okay, at this time we have a discussion item. The first one is the election of officers for CDA, and I was wondering if Isidore Knox, are you willing to assume the position of chair for the purpose of the election?
I for the purpose of the election, yes. Generally, alders aren't supposed to be chairing these commission meetings, so I'm not sure if that's
You're not sure of the
appropriate.
meeting. This is just the
Just chair
conduct.
of the election. Yeah, I'll do that.
This
That's
is
fine.
strictly for the elections, because
Sure.
I can't do them in the
I
current
get it.
position. Yeah.
Sure, I'll do that. How many positions do we have that we're nominating for?
The position of chair and position of vice chair.
Okay, yeah, I could do that.
So I don't know if there's anything else we need to include, Matt, relative to this process.
Nope, just take the nominations
Yeah.
and vote based on them. Yep.
Vote by raising of hands or affirmation.
That is at your discretion. You could do it either way.
I'll let the chair decide.
Okay. Hold on a second. All right. I guess I will open the nominations for, is it chair? So we could accept any nominations for chair.
I nominate Claude Gilmore to be chair for another term.
Okay, Claude Gilmore. Do we have any other nominations? And I'm assuming, does that nomination have to be seconded? Yeah, maybe. Yes. I'll take a second for that first nomination just in case it's needed. Anyone second that?
I'll second that nomination.
Good. All right. So nominations are still open for chair. Are there any other nominations for chair? Okay, I think I have to do it three times, so I'm gonna request again for nominations for the chair.
It's like you're an auctioneer.
Yeah, I have no idea. I'll repeat that. Any other nominations for chair? Hearing none, I'm going to close the nominations for chair. And I think we could go to a vote. And why don't we, I guess you said we could either do hands or why don't I see if is anyone objecting to a unanimous vote for Claude Gilmore for chair? Does anyone object to that?
No.
Hearing none, I'm going to say that the elections for nomination of chair for Claude Gilmore is unanimous. And I don't know, Claude, do you have a few things to say before we move on to the next election?
Appreciate it. I think you should go ahead with the next one.
Okay. So I'm opening up nominations for vice chair. And anyone who would like to nominate for vice chair, please state that now.
I nominate Greg Reed for vice chair.
Okay, we have a nomination. Do we have a second of that nomination?
I'll second that one too.
Okay, so we have a nomination for of Greg Reed for vice chair. Nominations are still open. Do we have any other nominations for vice chair? And then I will repeat. Are there any nominations for vice chair at this time? Hearing none, I'm going to close the nominations for vice chair. And we could go to election of vice chair. I'm going to start out by asking if there's any objection to a unanimous vote for Greg Reed as vice chair.
No objection on my part.
If do we have any objections to a unanimous decision on that? And if not, then I will assume that we have elected Greg Reed as the vice chair. So congratulations, Greg. And then I'll open up if the chair and then the newly elected vice chair has a few things to say.
I just want to say thanks everyone for their confidence in allowing me to continue in this role. I consider the service that we do and the work of providing this kind of work would be very important. And I'm glad that you think that I can be able to help steer this process. And so thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Okay, thank you, Claude. And Greg, do you have any words of wisdom or comments for us?
I'll just echo Claude's comments. I enjoy working with everyone, and thank you for entrusting me in the role.
Thank you. Are there any other comments from any of the commission members? In hearing none, I'm going to relinquish the chair to Claude Gilmore.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate your taking on this task and your support. So thank you very much. At this time, I need to appoint the CDA Finance Subcommittee. And to my knowledge, although Mary is not with us today, she expressed interest in continue serving on this. But Greg, Isidore are also current members, and I was wondering if you guys are willing to continue to serve for another year as the on the finance subcommittee.
I am willing to continue to serve.
I'll serve.
Okay, and I have Mary's agreement. She shared with us via email that she is willing to serve. In terms of your positions and or chair and vice chair or whatever, I think Mary was the chair and you were the vice, and Isidore was the member. Is that all okay going forward? Greg, is that okay?
Sorry. Yeah, that's fine by me.
Okay. All right. So that is the chair of the that would be the appointment of the finance subcommittee for the ensuing year, with those members noted. And then we have the nomination for the MRCDC board of directors, and we need to have six members. And at this time, due to the fact that we I would have to insert my name because I'm not on that committee right now. We need to be have to be six of us, and then if I add myself as a six, that would be the constellation of the members that we have to recommend to the mayor. And if we get someone to replace the person who's not on our committee later on, we can always replace that, and I can shift. So for right now, the names would be everyone, including myself. Will be on the MRCDC. Matt, is that how this works? I just wanted to make sure.
You just put forward the nomination and then as a motion, and then people you need a second, and then you vote for it just like anything else. Yep, but that you got it right.
This can be changed later on, correct?
Yeah, you're just making a recommendation.
Yeah,
The mayor
okay.
can always change it.
That's the recommendation. Is there a motion? In a second for approval.
I'll move for approval.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded that the names that that we had noted earlier of the members for the MRCDC that be able to be forward to the mayor, and all those will I'd like to consider this a unanimous vote unless there are any objection. Hearing none, motion approved. So we have those two tasks taken care of, and we have a couple of resolutions. First one is resolution 4662.
So this is to enter into a contract with WinCave and Synovus Financial to handle the payment system for the parking garage at Village on Park. Chris is here if you have any questions. It's a pretty straightforward contract for services.
I just need to know how long would that process take for them? This agreement is something they have to install. Correct.
I'll let Chris answer.
Good evening, everyone. This agreement will commence once we start collecting revenue on the transient parking stalls in the garage, which are the CDA stalls from its allocated share per the operating easement. This WinCave software is connected but separate from the hub parking equipment because there's a separation wall. And, once we get the equipment up and we're ready to start charging any transient users, this agreement will be in place. We are considering during the Central Green phase of the redevelopment. Not charging anyone for parking in the parking garage because parking is going to be very tight given the phasing that Tri-North has set forth and sent to all the owners. They're going to take down pretty much the central green and mid parking area. So we think it's prudent to allow the parking structure to be utilized by the guests and invitees of all the owners during that time frame. And then when the central parking lot opens up, we'll start, charging for the transient stalls and having the employees park in the garage as, as is set forth in the operating easement. That's a little bit more than you asked for, Commissioner. Do you have any other questions?
That's helpful. I just want a little bit of a context.
Okay.
Other questions from commissioners?
Lord Knox has his hand raised.
Go ahead, Isidore.
So, is this for we're doing this in until the recently built parking ramp is completed, or does this include managing that as well? Can you clarify that for me?
Do you mean with respect to the time frame we're going to open the garage up for all the customers? Or are you talking about the contract?
Well, this contract, they would have management over the parking stalls as well as
No,
the. Okay.
they would, this software would be applicable to collecting the parking fees for the CDA and then processing those fees with all the credit card fees that are due in connection with those users. And then they would deposit the monies into the CDA's bank account. So that this agreement is coming, forward because it's a 3-year contract. The city recently signed a contract with Wind Cave, and we're basically piggybacking on that process and terms of that contract. So that's
So is
why
this separate? So is this separate from the structured parking that hasn't opened
no,
yet?
this is related to the structured parking and entry into that parking. Entry into that parking is mainly for the employees of the tenants of the Hub, Urban League, the library, and the Village on Park, to get them out of the prime central surface parking stall. So we want them in there, excuse me, and then we want to have any and days that it's full, the parking stalls are full in the surface areas, we wanted to allocate some stalls in that garage for those users. And then we would charge people for those stalls after a certain grace period. And that's why we need this software collection payment system.
Okay, and this handles facilitates the payment of it. Just a
Yes.
related question. So, will there be any public parking in that structured ramp when it's completed?
Well, when it's complete, it's going to be pretty much for the pub, well, the public who,
Yeah.
until the central green opens up. But yes, out of the 295 stalls, the owners each get their allocated share, and the CDA is allocating roughly a floor or 32 stalls from its allocated share to accommodate, the public.
Okay.
And that's why we need this contract.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Any questions, other questions on for this matter from the commissioners?
I just have one question.
Go ahead.
Are we approving that the payment, leaving it open for now? Just want to understand what we're approving.
We're approving utilizing this software and the processing of any credit card, any payments in the garage that are not employees, and performing those services for the CDA and depositing the net proceeds into the CDA's bank account. So that's what you're approving for 3 years.
Just the
Okay,
software contract.
thanks.
Yeah.
It's a, yeah, essentially a software contract.
Thank you.
You excited for your question, Commissioner?
Yep, that's all.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, I'd like a motion and a second for approval.
I move to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that CDA Resolution 4662 be approved, and that we'd like to consider this a unanimous vote unless there are any objection. Hearing none, motion approved. Next resolution is Resolution 4665.
If you remember a few years ago, the Lynette, if you want to take it, you can. But if you.
Go for it. I have the map ready, but you can go ahead and go for it. But if they
Okay.
want to see a map.
A few years ago, the city of Madison was awarded congressionally directed spending through Senator Baldwin's office to install solar panels out at Truax. That installation is just wrapping up now. This resolution is to enter into an agreement with City of Madison Engineering for them to keep up the maintenance, the routine maintenance of the solar panels, since they are the installers. They're the experts at that. We don't anticipate a whole lot of maintenance, but we want to have this agreement in place just to handle that.
Sounds good. Questions people have? No questions? Then I'd ask for a motion and approval.
Move to approve.
Yep, second.
Then moved and approved that CDA Resolution 4665 be approved, and that we consider this a unanimous vote unless there are any objection. Hearing none, motion approved. We have an update on the CDA redevelopment projects.
Yep, so Dan is going to walk us through an update on all of those projects.
So we are at an interesting moment with the redevelopment pipeline, with a couple of projects wrapping up and a couple of other ones getting off the ground. So I have some visuals to share that we can run through quick. There we are. So, we were just talking about the Village on Park. So we are, of course, in phase two of the long-range master plan for that site, with the Black Business Hub coming online and the construction of the new parking structure wrapping up here relatively soon. Those are certainly some major bookends that are, you can see from the Beltline. This is a big deal for the Village on Park, and we have a couple of future phases that are yet to be determined as far as housing and the extension of Buick Street. So this is what we are looking at as of today. The north parking lot was completed, and that building was taken down, of course, a couple of years ago. And now that the parking structure is coming online here, Matt and Chris would know the timing a bit better than me, but I'm thinking 4 to 6 weeks from now, right?
Yep, the ramp will wrap up construction at the end of the month. We just had a slight delay on our electrical equipment. And then just as an update, Access Community Health did reach out to me on Friday of last week to say that they are really delaying decisions about their expansion, likely till early next year, just because of the uncertainty in federal programs, specifically Medicaid, that has a large effect on their budgets. So they want to know what's shaking out on the federal side before they make any big moves on expansion. So I told them that I'd give that update to you, and we'll get something on the books to follow up early next year.
Yes. So as Matt said, the parking garage is really the first half of what CDA is working on at the Village on Park, and then followed by the green space improvements in short order. So hopefully that will get off the ground here within the middle of the year. So that's here in the center of the site, and as Chris mentioned, there will be some rearrangement of parking while that gets moving. And of course, once the parking garage is online, that will be a great help. So if you haven't been down there recently, you can see the new mural is up. It looks terrific. You can see it from Park Street. So again, having that all done will be great. And we've come a long way in the last 3, 4 years on fulfilling that master plan, but you know, with Access Health being up in the air and other decisions being made, you know, certainly the plan for housing at on the north end of the site, we're not pushing for that as of right now, given where things are headed with the Park and Badger project to the south, but we will evaluate those in the future. So onto the triangle, you know, we have been moving a lot of paper on that project and are very close to financial closing on that, and have really already effectively broken ground doing some early site work. So getting that together has been a really big push with our development team, our staff, our legal team. So within the next 30 days, you know, we should have our financing in plant plans approved, permits picked up, and be on our way. So just as a quick reminder, B1 is at the northern edge of the existing Brittingham site. So that's 164 units, a one-to-one replacement of Brittingham, including replacements for the CDA central offices. And there will be enclosed underground parking and a shared courtyard between the three buildings shown here. So the B site, as it's known, is going to be the emphasis here for the next couple of years. And so you can see, you know, this will be the interim plan with B1 going up on the northern edge and Brittingham as it exists today. The new parking temporary parking arrangement is already in here. So that's, I believe, 32 stalls or so. So that will be the temporary arrangement for Brittingham residents for the next couple of years while B1 is under construction. I would note, you know, in the bottom right hand corner there, the existing pedestrian bridge is scheduled to come down just this weekend, actually. So starting tomorrow night, that will come down so that that stub at the end with additional stalls will be put in its place. And really, just because that bridge takes up so much space, it's really going to be necessary both to facilitate movement during B1 construction, but then also certainly once B2 and B3 get going. So that's certainly the first major public signal that things are happening here at the Triangle. And then certainly the giant hole in the ground where that green space used to be on the northern edge. So it's a quick aerial of that pedestrian bridge, very lightly used over the years. And so the City Engineering has agreed with CDA that can go before it needs any major maintenance. So again, with the triangle, you know, it's been a long road to get to the edge of construction here, going back almost 4 years. But here we are at the edge of a groundbreaking ceremony, which we're hoping to get scheduled either in the last half of July or early August. So we'll be working with the mayor's office and other officials to get something on the calendar, and would certainly look to have the board there as well. Very, very exciting. And then on to Park and Badger. just as a reminder, that is a site that we have assembled over the past few years, including both the South Transfer Point, which is still being lightly used by Metro, but they will be off that site by the end of the year. We purchased the old Centro Hispano facility and the office building next door, and then have been working with police to identify new needs for their south facility and an evidence storage facility that would move over to the former Town of Madison facility on Fish Hatchery Road. But that is being temporarily occupied by Fire Station 6, which the city sold to Madison College a few months ago for that daycare and early childhood project. So we have a bunch of moving pieces here, but we have been making great progress on design. So Potter Lawson and engineers and others have gotten us through schematic design as of a couple of months ago, and we've gone through pricing exercises with our GC team headed up by JP Cullen. And so Alexander Company, which is our development team lead, our friends from New Year Investments And Potter, of course, as lead designers, have been instrumental in moving that alongside our city and CDA staff team. So as far as our timeline is concerned, we have had a public engagement process through the year. You'll recall that you this board and the council approved a redevelopment master plan at the tail end of 2024. So we're making headway with design and budgeting. I know Matt has to make those final budget pitches to the mayor's office here in July. So we're hoping to make some decisions about the overall trajectory of the project, certainly from the CDA affordable housing perspective, but also for fire and the public health clinic to get their budget request tightened up, because we need to have those numbers in place in time for our tax credit application, which we would expect to go in late summer or early fall, followed closely by city land use approvals and hopefully financial closing and a groundbreaking, perhaps in spring of 26 if everything goes well. And so as far as kind of the designs, this should all look familiar to you, with building A being an 8-story building, with public health on the first floor, possibly part of the second floor, and building B including the fire station replacement on its main level as well. Building A would be roughly 160 odd units, and building B would be approximately 40 units, and building B has been identified as potentially being set aside for seniors, which would be a nice complement to the Burr Oaks senior apartments next door. And so we've shared these renderings with the public as part of our most recent engagement meeting at Madison College back in April. But you start to get an idea of what we're looking at here. This is right at the corner of Park and Badger, with the clinic space there on the ground floor and CDA owned and operated apartments above. And so then you can see the fire station immediately to the west along Badger Road. We're working on concepts for the public green space between the two buildings that would eventually connect Badger Road through to the Village on Park and Hughes Place. So that is being actively worked on by Psyche and our development team from Potter. So it's hard to see from some of these angles, but the green space is something that we have heard from the public is something that we need to drill down on both for residents and also folks in the community and those that will be passing through as users both of the commercial spaces but also neighboring businesses. And then finally, Teresa Terrace. We are finally very, very close to wrapping up this project after a number of years. You recall we had a couple of duplexes at this site that had fallen into disuse and needed to be demolished. And with HUD approvals being granted and a long road to getting this designed and permitted and financed, we broke ground on that last fall and are finally within about 30 days of having that substantially completed here in mid-July. Those again are 3-bedroom townhomes, row homes that, you know, we're replacing 3 units where there used to be 2 on each site. So we are in fact adding units, infill stuff that from the street look great in concert with the sorts of duplexes and 2-story buildings that already exist in this neighborhood. So we see it as a bit of a proof of concept, if you will, for other infill sites around the city that the CDA might be tapped to redevelop in the future. So here's just a handful of photos of progress. One building is maybe 2 weeks ahead of the other as far as finishes are concerned, but you know, the buildings came down last fall and steady progress has been made on construction since then. And so having walked the site within about the last week or so, those floors are in, it's painted, there are light fixtures going in. So we are very close to getting to our final punch list of items. So again, this project goes back 3, 4 years since we were seeking HUD approval to get these taken out of public housing and moved over to MRCDC. But the units will be finished here by mid-July, and hopefully we will have folks lined up to move in shortly thereafter. So also be on the lookout for a ribbon cutting celebration for Teresa Terrace sometime, hopefully in late July as well. And just a note on the other MRCDC scattered sites, the 32 units that were moved from CDA a couple of years ago, the third phase of scattered site rehab has been completed, I believe, as of this year. And so there are 12 units remaining that we hope to get rehabbed as vacancies come up organically. So we're looking to get those all wrapped up here within the next year or two. And that is what I have. Any questions?
Dan, on the scattered sites, are those the ones that we had dealt with that situation where we had to take them offline and then related to the HUD putting us on that sort of notice? I'm blocking on what that's called. Where we had those sites that we had to.
When we were over the fair cloth limit. Yep. So removing them from public housing got us under the limit.
Yeah.
Yes, they're no longer public housing units, but remain in the Section 8 portfolio. So they're still being third party managed, but just by MRCDC rather than CDA.
That makes sense. Thank you for your report. It's very helpful. Any questions or comments from commissioners?
Alder Knox has his hand up.
Alder Knox, go ahead.
Oh, you're on mute.
I'm a little mouse challenged, you guys, sometimes. So I guess I had a few questions. Thank you for that update. I guess I'll start out with, I just happened to have been at a meeting yesterday at the Bayview Community Center. Got a nice tour. I love that building. But one of the conversations that came up with the neighborhood director was, he feels that they're doing a really good job with that facility and responding to the residents, but feeling a little challenged when we get the CDA Triangle Housing online, what that would mean in terms of them kind of servicing, you know, the whole everyone in that triangle space. So I was just kind of wondering, in the development of, you know, the, I don't know what you call them, I don't know if we call them CDA triangle housing or whatever you call them, is there some design aspects of some community space for those folks that would kind of alleviate the additional, you know, stress on the community center site?
Yep. So as part of phase one, the northeast sort of corner of the building, the part closest actually to Bayview's community center, will be the new CDA offices for the site, our area for our service providers. There'll be a large mixed-use room. There'll be a large kitchen. So all of those services will be kind of centralized right there, and they're going to be expanded beyond what we have today. And that is part of the phase one. So that'll be done, you know, 2 years from now when we open.
Okay. And then my other question, you talked about getting approval for removing the pedestrian bridge on Park Street. Was there a lot of feedback in terms of, like, maybe how do they get over to the hospital complex? That is it, did they just determine it wasn't that much traffic on that bridge?
So, yep. So this has been part of the design conversation from the beginning, is that as we looked at it, most people are crossing at grade, and you can actually see the spot where the grass is worn out in the median where people actually do cross. So we worked with traffic engineering to sort of look at that, decided to take that down and put a new signalize at grade crossing at a more logical place will be part of the project that will be built. So we had a pre-construction meeting this week to start working with engineering about the timing of all of these pieces. But yep.
Yeah, and it almost is like I've done that before. It almost is an additional height to do the walk bridge than just to find a way to cross the street. So I can kind of relate to
It's very
that.
steep. It's some tight turns and a steep incline. It's not how we would build a bridge today.
Okay, good. So I just want to float back obviously to Park Badger. And at the last meeting, I got feedback from that last meeting that I wasn't able to attend. But so some of the feedback was, it's still density always comes up as an issue. And I heard that maybe the Urban League was wanting a shade study of some type, feeling that the eight stories could impact their hub facility. And, I was just thinking in hindsight, because you mentioned in your report when, we tore down the North Building, I kind of wish that could have been a possible other location for public health, and then maybe it would have alleviated some of the density issues. But it probably had a lot to do with, the financial support that you got to do that project. But two things came up: that density issue, which probably will always be an issue, and the more concern was the traffic flow between Park and Badger, particularly on Hughes Street. Have we done a lot of, and I know they're working on it, but have we done a lot of, has city staff done a lot of analysis on the traffic flow, how that would impact Park Street as well as Hughes and Badger?
Yep. So we've had a number of conversations with Madison Metro and with City Engineering about how all these pieces kind of work together, because Park Street is also scheduled to be rebuilt sort of on the tail end of our construction. One of the things that'll happen is that Madison Metro is going to move the buses and the bus stops later this year. So they'll shift north, so it'll take some of the traffic off of Badger and Park Street. And then as engineering starts to look at the design of Park Street, they've already done some analysis of what Park and Badger starts to look like, possibly being skinnier, and some of the turn lanes are gonna change, but they're just in the early stages of talking to the state about what those things look like. But we are constantly meeting, and in some cases the we've talked about how the lot line could shift, and how to make sure we fit in a mixed use pedestrian path, all of those things. So we don't have solid answers on all of those, but every iteration that we do, that whole team is looking at those pieces to make sure that we're managing traffic and pedestrian safety, because the pedestrian safety came up in every single one of our community meetings, because it's a lot of crossing, there's a lot of lanes of traffic to cross. So that's definitely part of the design.
So we all are obvious those are some issues we have to work through. The other thing that came to mind, especially when I was at that meeting yesterday in the Triangle area, so far I haven't, I know we talked about Park Badger having outdoor space, but is there any thought for having some indoor community space and what that might look like for those residents there?
So,
Because and the backdrop to that is this. We know that the closest neighborhood center to that, I mean, neighborhood house is kind of a distance away, and then they'd have to cross Park Street to probably get to the Catholic center there and the Boys and Girls Club. So it just struck me that west of Park Street from Badger, maybe to Cedar, for example, there just doesn't seem to be much You know what I mean? Community neighborhood center space or something like that. So can you tell me what your thoughts are maybe? And that might be a little out of bounds, but for that project, for Park Badger, what's your
Yep.
thinking on that?
So we're looking at how to program the, like Dan said, the at grade green space, which is a lot of people moving through, but it's also, a spot for people to have lunch or be outside at grade. We're looking at how to program the outdoor spaces that'll be on the rooftops. It'll be a different solution for the more family kind of building A versus the senior building B. And then we have we're very early on what happens in the lobby space, but then especially in the B building, the bigger building, having community room space kind of up on that second floor. And then Dan, did we talk about possible space up towards the top of the building? I mean, we're
That was
pretty
the original
early.
concept in the 8-story building, was to have the community center up on the 8th floor, but I think that that's still a design question.
But it's spaces for the residents, not for
Yes,
broader.
right. I get it.
Not for the public.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That just was one of the things that kind of hit me when I was over there, over at the Triangle, and I think that was it. That's basically the questions I have. So thank you.
Other questions and comments to commissioners?
Commissioner Reed has his hand up.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Commissioner Reed.
Matt, quick question. With back-to-back graduations at the Kohl Center for the high schools this weekend, combined with the potential protest marches on Saturday afternoon, are there any life safety issues by closing off West Washington between Park and Regent on, over this weekend?
I will say that we've been in coordination with city traffic engineering and the state through the whole process. I don't know that this specific question came up, but we can certainly make sure we raise it with them. But we there's a whole permitting process where the city and state were involved with it. But I can certainly follow up with them.
Well, I'm just concerned about, with the high school graduations, limited parking around the Kohl Center with the Lake Street parking ramp under redevelopment, combined with everything going on State Street and downtown on Saturday. It could be a mess. And especially if something goes wrong, which I hope it doesn't, but it sounds like a volatile weekend potentially. That's all.
Appreciate that. Other questions or comments from me? I appreciate the discussion. I do think the idea of the community center for the residents make a lot of sense. I think they have something, a little spacing that they have at the other places. So but that could be built in a little lower or wherever it could be where people can access is going to be important. There are no other questions on this. Thank you for that report. We have one other item to cover before we adjourn, and that is the report on housing authority operations by, I think, Lynette.
It is me, and this will be my last report out to all of you in this board. So take it easy on me since it's my last night. Alrighty, so my first report is our Section 8 utilization report. You can see overall what stood out for me. I always like to look at these reports and just kind of see what stood out. And I actually, my eyes went to the vet number and seeing that the vet number had decreased. And when I asked the client services manager and we were talking about it, while, unfortunately in the voucher program, we do have individuals that leave due to attrition. Vets actually sometimes have the opportunity when their full benefits kick in, they have the opportunity to kind of graduate, we would say, from the program in the fact that they have other resources to support them. So I always like to get those fun facts while I've been down at CDA to learn some of the ways that our programs and our vouchers have helped individuals maintain stability, but then they've been able to kind of move on from the programs as well. The other thing that you might note in this report this month, we have now gotten our 2025 budget. And so we did get an increase for the Section 8 program for 2025. So we've now updated this report to show the overall budget. We got about 25 million. So that's an increase of about the 17 million that we received the previous year. That increase does not mean that we have enough money by any means to open up a lottery or really issue a significant new amount of vouchers. Last year, we had a pull from reserves because we had more vouchers than we received of that 17 million. So the 25 million really helps us stabilize where we should be based off of last year's budget. And then potentially staff can kind of start working on some of the individuals, for instance, that we've had moratorium of people in project-based vouchers who wish to leave and move someplace else, start looking at opening up some of those wait lists for at least people with current vouchers to move other places. So that's kind of the game plan as they move forward. So happy to answer any questions on the Section 8 program. And Sadie is here as well if your questions are complicated for me.
On the utilization rate, is that looking like it's holding steady?
The utilization rate is good for us, and that's why I kind of pointed that out from the previous month's report is that utilization rate does look lower than previous months, only because that utilization rate looks at the vouchers compared to the overall budget, and we now officially have a little bit higher budget.
A little bit higher budget. Okay, that sounds good. But we're holding pretty steady.
All right. I will stop sharing and move on to now our public housing occupancy. So this report shows how we are doing at our public housing sites. One of the things that HUD looks at in a variety of things staff do on a daily basis and ensuring that they kind of have on their performance measures is our occupancy rate and making sure that our units maintain occupancy and are not vacant. Overall, we have been hitting the benchmark that HUD has required. Again, looking at this report, I just want to point out the one thing that I noticed is in this month of April, we did have a pretty high increase at the east site. We had a unique opportunity where five households moved out in 1 month. And that is a large amount, but people do move on from public housing for positive reasons. And so we had individuals all mutually agree to leave and transfer to other units and so forth. So sometimes those numbers, you might want to question why they're vacant, but sometimes it's a positive thing that we are going to get new individuals. And I can trust you as I have seen these all of the staff at all the sites work very hard in screening, flipping over units, and getting new residents in there as soon as possible. They are all working hard to get those vacant units filled back up. So questions?
Questions and comments from commissioners.
All right. I think my last thing to say is like I have had a pleasure working with all of you, and I'm sure in my world of housing at the city, we will see each other soon.
Well, thank you, Lynette. Thank you for your service. We appreciate working with you. I'm sure we will see you at some point in time in the future. But we appreciate that. Any other comments from the commissioners?
I would just say, yeah, thank you for your service, Lynette. It's been a pleasure working with you, and we will see you around.
Okay. Matt, are there any other items?
That's it.
Well, thank you all very much. Appreciate it. And again, thank you for your support. Have a wonderful evening, and we'll be in touch. Take care.
We need a motion to
Oh,
adjourn.
yes. Thank you. Motion for adjournment, please.
I'll move to adjourn.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. We are in adjournment. Take care. All right, bye. Thank you.